guys. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Zach Windahl. We're talking about your new book, The Bible Simplified. Give us a little quick description on that.
Thank you so much for having me.
First off, this is awesome to be here.
Oh my goodness. New book is called The Bible Simplified. It basically builds your foundational understanding of the entire storyline of Scripture. I think so many people are overwhelmed and confused by the Bible, and they don't know where to begin with it. And I really want to boost your confidence to make you confident in your faith so that, yeah, you can pick up the Bible and you actually know what's going on in it.
I'm just so passionate about this because I grew up in church and I did not understand.
Yeah.
How to read the Bible, for sure. Especially the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
As all of us.
I mean, I would open it and just be like, what on earth? And I'm so passionate about this because it wasn't until I went to Bible school when I was 19 and I was taught these things about historical context and these different varying factors. And I remember so many of us in the school, we looked at each other and we're like, why don't they teach this in church? This would help so many people.
So much. I don't get it.
No. And there's really, what I love about this resource is I remember even talking to my professors because they are these scholars that have these doctorates and they were able to teach the Bible with such depth and clarity. And there was so much like, almost like meat or depth to the teaching.
Right.
And I remember going to them and being like, well, what commentaries do you use?
Yeah.
But they're at such this high scholarly level.
Totally.
That I'm like, my mind is not there.
For sure.
And so we need something like this that's going to come down and help the normal common person like me understand scripture.
Yeah.
Because there is a history and there's a lot of, I mean, like thousands of years of history and there is a culture and there is a people as Gentiles in the new covenant, you know, looking through, but yet it all does connect.
For sure.
And there is a purpose. And when you can see things as a whole together.
Yeah.
There, it's like the word comes alive.
Completely.
And you get excited.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's why I have such a passion for it, because it's like if I would have had a book like this or an understanding of scripture in general from an early age, it would have changed my entire trajectory of my life and my relationship with the word. So if I can create anything that would benefit those people that are in my shoes 15 years ago, I'm going to, because I want to see their lives transformed.
Yeah. And what's cool is that, you know, one of the things, and we'll get into your story, but one of the things they say is the thing that you suffer with or the problem you experience, God's calling you to help solve.
Totally.
And so that is your story. You were in this predicament, but look what came out of it. So let's get into your story. So growing up, you grew up in a Christian home, saw God move miraculously.
Yeah, totally. From a really early age. Mm-hmm. So my mom is a four-time cancer survivor. So when I was four, she was sent home with a 5% chance to live because she had stage 4 ovarian cancer and was healed from that.
That's
like,
wild.
Wow. Praise God. Incredible. Then she had a tumor on her sciatic nerve and was miraculously healed from that. And then she had colon cancer with 3/4 of her colon removed, was healed from that. And then when I was 15, she had breast cancer, double mastectomy, and was healed from that. So literally from 4 to 15, I'm seeing my mom in and out of the hospital, never knowing if she's going to make it.
I can't imagine.
Through the whole thing, I knew that God was good and that he had a plan behind it and that she was still around in order to, for some reason, whatever that was in the moment. So she always just taught me that God is good and he has a plan for all of this. So that was really the foundation of who I became as a person and really like what my mentality is in life. But even though I saw him move in amazing ways and I grew up in the church and I knew these stories and I had Bible verses memorized, when I hit 17, when I hit college, it was like, I'm trying to do things on my own a little bit. I think I was just so influenced by the people around me and culture and wanting to do cool things. And a lot of Christians that I knew weren't that cool, I think.
Yeah, it was. It's true.
That's what it was. And so had this like moment where I was trying to do everything myself for years. And it wasn't really until I hit a low spot in 2014 where I was like, okay, God, if you're good, if you're real, I'm going all in on this and I need you to show up. prove to me that this is from you, prove to me that you are good, that this is the plan, that this is who I should associate my life with. And then I said, God, I'm going to give you 2 years, prove that you're real. And ended up moving out to Australia to study the Bible really intensely in this program where we studied 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, like as deep as you possibly could.
That's and, commitment.
Yeah, literally. By the end of it, we had like a whole commentary written on every book of the Bible. And that process completely changed my life. I'd say it was day two out there when I'm really understanding the history and the context of Scripture that everything shifted for me. And I was like, oh, this is way bigger than I thought it was. This isn't just a book of stories. This is a history book of things that happened to real people in a real time. And it's meant to be used in order to show me where I'm going in my life and what God's really doing in the world. And I get to be a part of that, which is incredible.
It's wild when the things you kind of hear about the Word of God your whole life become real to you and you see it through new eyes.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most exciting things. I remember being in Bible college and I began to learn the concept of revelation and how God reveals himself. The Holy Spirit reveals God through his Word and how it comes alive.
Yeah.
And it completely shifted things for me. And then I became so excited to study Scripture because it wasn't something I was doing alone.
Yeah.
I was inviting the Holy Spirit into it. Because, you know, Paul says in Ephesians, he says, I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light, the eyes of your hearts would be flooded with light so that you'd be able to understand these things. And so these spiritual, this revelation that Paul pontificates through all of these epistles, you know, the revelation of Jesus is something that you cannot understand in your own mind on your own. It's something in humility you have to receive through revelation and through studying his word.
So
and
true.
It will take you on almost like a treasure hunt where you can find the deepest pearls of wisdom that will completely transform your life.
Absolutely. That's why you can't just read the Bible one time. Mm-mm. You need to fall in love with it for the rest of your life. You could read it 100 times and get something different from it every single time.
Yeah.
So the same Holy Spirit that inspired the text is the Holy Spirit that we have.
Living with us.
Literally. So of course he wants to teach us things. So that's the coolest thing ever. The fact that he was part, like he wrote it through people and he wants to help us understand it. That's awesome.
I love in John 14 through 16, where Jesus is kind of downloading, explaining he's about to go to the cross and he's trying to kind of give as much to his disciples before he goes. And he goes into this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm sending you someone. Mm. He will lead you into all truth.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, he's in the Greek, that word, he's basically parakletos. He's just like me, you know? But what's so cool, he says that he's going to lead you into all truth and he's going to basically teach you about me.
Mm.
And so that's who God has given us.
Yeah.
And I think it's in Romans, it says the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and then reveals them to us. And so there's this thing where it's like the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we may understand Jesus better.
Right.
And so people try to separate, but they're, you know, it's like, no.
You can't.
No.
It's both. It's literally Spirit and Bible. Like we need both in our life.
We need both.
Yeah.
And but sometimes people emphasize one or the other and it's not supposed to be isolated.
No, not at all. It can't just be Spirit and it can't just be Bible. It has to be the two together because otherwise you're going to miss out on so much in life. Like God's going to do incredible things through us. And if we only know the Word and don't have the Spirit, oh man, life is going to be so much less of an adventure than it could be with the Spirit moving through us. And so,
it becomes more of a head thing.
Yes.
And you have to be careful because it's like learning is not bad. Information is not bad, but that alone, it's not relation. It's God. Jesus transforms us through relationship. We can't transform ourselves through our mind reading.
Right.
We have to combine. He says, abide in me and then you'll bear fruit. So we can't do anything apart. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Literally.
So we have to be rooted in him. Now we still need to study.
Yeah.
Paul says to Timothy, you know, study yourselves to show approved by you know, the word of God. And so that study is so essential. But like you said, it's that beautiful combination.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, with people, if they get so focused on knowledge, I've noticed people tend to become stale. You need the love of God.
For sure.
And they can become sometimes prideful.
Yeah.
So that's one extreme. On the other extreme, if it's just spirit, and as a lot of times it's not even the Holy Spirit, it's just people's kind of weird interpretations of
totally.
Spirit,
yes, yes.
You need the word of God to ground and balance that out, or you're just going to be like, cuckoo.
For sure. Yeah. Totally. And I feel like there's a certain people that go really deep with studying, but then the average person doesn't even know where to begin with studying.
That was me.
Yeah,
I'm like, what do I do?
Right. There's like so many resources available that alone can be overwhelming.
It is.
And most of the scholars don't know how to talk in like normal everyday language.
No, they do not.
So I'm reading through things and I'm like, I want to know this and I want other people to know this, but I can barely grasp it.
It's a gift to be able to take stuff up here and go down.
Yeah.
And not many people have that gift. I had a professor in school. He was teaching. It was my Bible school was so small because I was like in the first class of its launching.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was in a class with masters and undergrad, and we were undergrad, and my professor started teaching, and we all just looked at him. We were like, we don't understand anything you're saying.
For sure.
And he literally in that second goes, oh, went down a couple levels.
Yeah.
And then we understood.
Totally.
Yeah.
You have to say things a lot of the times as if it's for like a sixth grader, just so that like most people can understand it.
That's how Billy Graham taught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look at how many people he impacted.
Exactly.
Incredible. Yeah.
But you don't have to sacrifice the depth.
No.
Or the scholarly, you know, dedication because there is that accuracy.
Totally.
You don't have to sacrifice that by putting, and that's why the Bible Simplified.
Yeah.
You're taking these deep and these intellectual things that are going to be, that are going to help people, and you're putting it down in a way that they can understand.
And it's really about like filling in the blank a lot of the time and showing where we're at, like in the storyline, for instance. Like,
I love that.
First time you went to Israel, how did that change your understanding of scripture? Wasn't it insane?
Yeah.
Like actually seeing things in person is like, whoa, this is
real.
This is real.
Not just like a movie that I've seen or like a cartoon.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it comes from like filling in the gaps and actually having a vision and understanding of what was going on at the time. And so for me with this book and for most of my content, I'm looking at everything and I'm like, okay, I'm asking the why question all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this written the way it is? Who is it written to? What were they going through at the time? And by filling in those gaps, it'll make books like Hosea make so much more sense when you're at church on Sunday and your pastor's talking about it. And it's like, oh, that's what's going on. Because if we don't have the context, we're missing out on so much. Because literally everything Jesus said and did was a fulfillment of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So we need to know the Bible as a whole. It's a story from beginning to end. And there's different styles of writing in it. And by
you can speak to that. There's like wisdom literature, poetry, there's like Paul writing like a letter to the church.
Yeah.
And so even that helps you understand.
Absolutely. Like you can say like, oh, I take the Bible literally, but then you'll read metaphors and it's like, well, clearly you don't. Like you need to understand it in the context. There's poetry. A third of the Bible is poetry.
I know.
50% of the Bible is story. And then the rest is like discourse, like trying to get a point across or a teaching. And if you don't read it in that regard, then you're going to be thrown out a lot of the time. But for us in the West, we have a Greek understanding of life. So we approach everything from like data and facts, and we want to know proof. But the Bible's written by people with a Hebrew and an Eastern mindset to an audience that's also Hebrew and Eastern. So for us, we can't approach it the same way that we would any of our texts in the West. We can't be like, well, Genesis 1 is like a science textbook when they're like, well, this is a poem about the creation account.
Mm-hmm.
So when we understand that it was written in a different mindset, it'll change the way that you read it, I believe.
Yeah. I remember learning about that because you just grew up with the mindset you have. And so it's like in America, we're very individual minded.
Right.
In the West, we're very, like you said, that kind of like that Greek, like mathematical, we want to dissect things and everything perfectly.
Totally.
Goes into their box and their categories and their spaces. And in one of the things, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I remember, one of the things with an Eastern mindset is they are okay that God can be merciful and kind, but yes. he's also just.
For sure.
You know, they're okay with mystery. And yeah. it's like everything doesn't have to fit in their perfect little right. boxes.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why we struggle, because it yeah. is written in that way.
Definitely. Yeah, it's yeah. that tension of like love and holiness. But for us, we're like, well, God can't be angry if he's all loving. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, like God actually doesn't like the wicked, and like they will be punished. The mm-hmm. Bible like says so much about that. And we get that in the parables. There's what, like 26 parables that Jesus teaches, and yeah. the majority of them are not taught in church because they're uncomfortable for us in the West to hear a lot of the times, because they are like so much more focused on judgment or holiness. But like,
yeah, he really yeah, gets into that.
Absolutely.
But you said on another program something that I love to talk about, which is yeah. you love the book of Matthew because it gives this Jewish perspective
for
of
sure.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And for me growing up, the Gospels were so confusing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like everyone's like, start here, which
totally.
You totally can start there.
Yeah.
But I was confused. And then I took a class in Bible school that talks about the Jewish Jesus.
Awesome.
And it talks about how he was a rabbi.
Yeah. Yep.
And how his teaching style, what is rabbinical teaching like during yeah. that time period? And the Gospels begin to make so much more sense
totally.
To me. Like these phrases where it's like, if your eyes are dark or whatever
yeah.
it is, and it's like a completely different understanding. And
for
so
sure.
if you lack historical context yeah. to that time, you'll interpret things in a weird way.
Completely.
So these things right. that he was saying that was just like going over my head.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, that's what that is. Because
right.
I was just like, I don't understand what he's talking about.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we'll read the Gospels and it'll be like, Jesus goes up to these guys and says, follow me. And they leave everything behind
yeah,
to
right?
go follow him. And you're like,
what?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense. And then when you understand what's actually taking place, like these guys would have grown up, they would have studied the Bible so intensely. They would have had the Torah memorized by the time they're 12 or 13. And then if they were good enough, they would have
yeah.
continued on in school, or they would have continued to memorize and study even more. And at that point, most people would have gone and worked at their family business because they weren't good enough. But the ones that were, they would go to a rabbi and say like, I want to study under you. And the rabbi would test them and see if they actually would be a good disciple. And if they were, then the rabbi would say, come, follow me.
Yeah.
And they would leave everything behind and follow him. And so you have all of these fishermen and a tax collector that are working in their family business because they never felt like they were good enough because society said that they weren't. And now you have a rabbi coming up to them saying, come follow me. Of course you would leave everything behind because that's what you lived your entire childhood wishing for and hoping for. And everybody said you weren't good enough, but now he's saying that you are.
Yeah.
Those understandings shift the Gospels so much.
Yeah, and then it makes so much more sense. And then
yeah.
you realize, like, this is considered, like, one of the highest honors. So,
yeah.
like, of course, you'd follow the rabbi around.
Totally.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, incredible.
What Love would it. You say about the parables, giving some context? Were those stories that were, like, commonly used, and so they were something
sure.
that the culture was used to hearing, or?
I think it was very common for people to speak in parables.
Yeah.
And it comes from that Eastern mindset of like speaking in stories and in symbols. And for us, we're like, Jesus, why can't you just tell me what you're actually trying to say? And he's like, no. So like, God is like a shepherd. And we're like, come on, just tell me what you mean. But that's how people understood things at the time. So we need to read it in that context.
Yeah. And I think too, because that is part of the reason you're like, why is he talking like
yeah,
this? It's
right.
like almost like in riddles. You're like, I'm
For
so
sure.
confused. And then you learn this is kind of how rabbinical teaching was.
Yeah.
But also I think God never, it's always like, I feel like he's like leaving out these little breadcrumbs in
yeah.
scripture. And it's like an invitation into something deeper with him.
Totally.
And because he's seeking out who will actually search for me.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says in Hebrews, it's like, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
So
and
good.
So I think he's always like welcoming us in and
yeah.
wanting us to go deeper with him into his word.
100%.
But it's like, who will actually do it?
Right. And I don't think we really understand what it means to be a disciple today.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it was like, it was an honor to be covered in like the dust of your rabbi, meaning that you did all of life with them, that you ate with them, that you learned under them, that you traveled with them, that everything you did had to do with the rabbi. And for us, a lot of the times in church is like, okay, you have a discipleship program.
Yeah.
You're going to learn about the church. You're going to learn about your giftings, and you're going to learn a little bit about God. But in reality, it's like, this was a fully life-consuming, transforming thing for these people, where they would change everything that they did in order to live life under that rabbi. So for us today, looking at that and hearing that, it's like, man, how can I make my day, my day in Orlando, Florida, dedicated to being a disciple of Jesus in the modern times? And I think it's something that a lot of us wrestle with, is like, what does that actually look like? But it comes down to spending more time in the Word and spending more time in prayer and loving God in order to love the people around us even better. But it's a heart posture a lot of the time.
It is a heart posture.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And it's that desire of, it's like humility.
Yeah.
Because Jesus says, you have to become like a child
to
enter my, you know, into my kingdom. And so a totally humility. But God is so, he wants to spend time with us more than we want to spend time with him every time.
Yeah.
So he's always there. He's always waiting for us to just come be with him. And so if we take that heart posture of, I want to know you. And I think about that verse, call unto me and I will show you great and unsearchable things.
Yes.
And so God is like beckoning us.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
The eyes of the Lord search to and from the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him.
Yeah.
So God's searching for those people, and he wants that relationship. And God, you know, I think, you know, shifting subjects is that one of the things for me, because I love that you talk about like this big picture.
Yeah.
And I think like that's such an important thing when looking at the whole of scripture. And for me, a huge theme in the Bible is that God is a father and he wants a family.
100%.
I feel like that is like one of the things, like,
absolutely.
And when Jesus comes to earth, it's like when he says, pray, this is the Lord's prayer. It's, we could call God, there's so many titles we could call him, but he teaches us, say, our father.
Right. Incredible. Like, I want that as a dad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want that loving relationship with him. But I think a lot of people today might not have a good relationship with their father. So when they hear that, it can be a little confusing or not really sure what that even means or looks like. And so,
And Jesus even had to like say to them, he was like, if you being evil, like your father, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And so he's already showing that differentiation. Like my father is so much better.
Absolutely.
Than even this. And, you know, we kind of get to pull back the curtain in John 17 and you see this beautiful relationship between Jesus and his father and like this
so
great
good.
Love. And basically we see that because God loved us so much that, you know, he's doing this sacrifice for, you know, to make the way back to him through his son.
Absolutely. As a gift. And all we have to do is accept that. That's pretty incredible.
Thank God.
You know, literally. Yeah. Right.
He did the hard work.
Yeah.
And then the beauty of the gospel.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. When I began, I was like, when I began to study that in Bible school, my spirit just came alive. And
for sure.
And in my mind, I was like, this is the most genius thing I've ever seen.
Totally.
Like how Paul says, through one man, sin entered the world, so that through one man, righteousness may come. And so we see this beautiful plan of redemption from the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
That God had for us, knowing that we were going to mess up. He already had a plan to redeem us back to him.
For sure. And we get to be a part of that today.
Like, I know.
How cool is that? That we
do.
Get to be part of bringing the kingdom to our surrounding, to our neighborhood, to our jobs, to our family. Everywhere we go, we are a representation of Jesus today. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a good representation of him. And I think the only way that you can understand him and who he is more and what that representation looks like is by spending time with him, spending time in the Word and in prayer and allowing him to speak to us. I think a lot of the times with prayer is just like, I have my laundry list of things that I'm telling him, but we don't actually take time to sit in silence and expect him to speak to us. But the Bible says, like, my sheep hear my voice and like, they know me.
Mm-hmm.
So we know the voice of God. And I think we just need to learn to slow down and spend time sitting and saying, God, speak to me today. What do you have to say about my day, somebody around me? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's about you, whatever the case is. But speak to me and sit in that silence, because I really believe that he's faithful and he will.
He is faithful. And I think that's such an important word for today, because we're moving at a pace now, even in the last 10 years, we've accelerated so much as a society.
Totally.
And we have so many different streams of noise.
Yes.
That
constant.
Is drowning out the voice of God and things fighting for our attention. You know, I had Dr. Amen on and we were talking about the dopamine addiction. We're always seeking out that hit. It's
for
awful.
Sure. Yeah.
But all that being said, it really takes discipline.
It does.
And dedication to sit down and be still within your soul and your mind, your heart. Because even when I go to have a quiet time, I have to like tell my mind, okay, because your mind will just start thinking about, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this. And you have to, but that gift of time is so pleasing to God.
Yep.
And he wants our time. He wants us to spend time with him. And it's so pleasing to him as a form of worship. And if we are still, he will speak.
For sure.
Just got to quiet your heart.
Yeah, literally. And we have the time, most of us.
No,
do.
We do. You know? It's just like, will you cut out other? I'm just speaking to myself.
For sure. like we need to say no to things.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay. But
and that's hard with my flesh. My flesh is like, no, I want to be on social media.
Right.
No, I want to watch TV. Yeah. You know?
Something that I love to do is I put my phone on gray mode. Have you ever done that?
No.
You like triple click one of the buttons and it makes your whole screen and everything gray. And I think the way that our phones are set up is that the colors of us, or the colors of them, like make us want to engage with
dopamine.
It more. Yeah. And so if it's just gray, you don't want to as much. So if like during my work day or during my time just in prayer with the Lord, it's like make it gray, and then I won't have any trigger inside of me to want to go open up another app or see something else.
Well, there's a little life hack
little
for
hack,
the audience
you know?
There. I'm going to try that out. Gray mode.
Yes.
That's so cool. You know, another thing that came to my mind as we were talking is I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, and he has a wild testimony. Mm. You know, he was a zealot killing Christians.
Yeah.
And he has an encounter with Jesus. But what a lot of people don't know, because you have to kind of study the scripture, is that he, after that encounter, and then he gets, was it Ananias? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He goes and prays for him. You know, he's no longer blind. And then shortly after that, Paul is like ready to go. And
for
he's
sure.
like out in Jerusalem preaching.
Right.
And then the Lord like is like, Paul, wait, you know, excuse, I think he's going to get arrested.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what we don't know, and I don't know exactly, I want to say it's 14 years. Paul spent like 14 years.
Yeah. I've heard like 11 to 14, like anywhere in there.
In the desert. And God is teaching him. So people
Insane.
Don't realize that like all this incredible stuff that came out of Paul, like God brought him through and taught
it
him.
It wasn't immediate. No. And I think that's what you get from studying and also just from seeing the places in person is like time is so different. Like location is so different. Like we flip the page and it could have just flipped 200 years without us realizing it. In the storyline, because it's like, oh, God did this and then God did this. Well, there's a huge gap between the two a lot of the time. And so that's what I'm always trying to get across is like, you need 14 years in the desert being like taught through the Holy Spirit and studying scriptures in order to make it make sense. And
Exactly. And God does a process in us and he launches us when we're ready. Yeah. Like Paul had that passion. He's like, I'm
for
ready
sure.
now, you know, but there's a wisdom in timing and him discipling you and preparing you and teaching you. And so a lot of times they think our generation we want now, but it's a walk, it's a journey, and even studying his word.
Yeah.
It's never about, the heart posture should never be about arriving to a certain point or I know so much information. And I remember like, I wanted to understand everything when I got into Bible school and I understood that we could receive revelation. And so I'm studying scripture through fresh eyes. And, but I remember having this moment with God. I remember my mom was like, let's read. I had my grandmother's Bible and my mom was like, let's read 1 Corinthians 13. And I was like, this is like the one scripture I do know because it's like the most quoted thing at weddings. So I was like, okay, you know, I was like, I could study anything. And so we're reading it, But as we got down to the bottom, Paul says, you know, I see dimly through a glass or a mirror, whatever that is. He says, I know in part, but one day I know in full. And God in that moment was like, yeah. On this earth, you're never going to fully understand. And it brought such humility in me. And it brought me such grace. And I feel like we need grace because we'll see people in the body of Christ who maybe have varying opinions or, you know, ways of translating things. And there's things we don't compromise on. But I think there's other things we don't fully understand. If we can just take that posture of humility, knowing one day we'll know.
For sure.
We'll know him in full. But until then, there's some stuff that is kind of a mystery.
Totally. Which is tough for us in the West a lot of the times because we want to know.
We want the answers.
And,
yeah.
And if we don't have the answers, then a lot of people are like, well, it's not real then. It's like, no, we need to be able to sit in that mystery. There's
He's
a lot of things.
Than us.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in science that I don't understand. So like, I don't understand gravity. I don't understand some things in the Bible, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think people just need to be okay with that as well.
Yeah. And he says like, my ways are higher than your ways. He's so much bigger than us. Like our minds could never fully comprehend in this setting. Like there's just no way we could fully understand. And he's given us his word and we have a relationship with him and we just need to trust him. Yeah. And I think too, that really walking, we're called to walk a walk of faith. And if you have the mentality that I need to understand everything, I think you're going to become frustrated in life.
Yes, for sure.
It's just so much better. I've just come to a place where it's like, I may never understand why things in my life are a certain way, but I trust him.
Right. That's the root of it. If you trust that God is good, that he does have a plan, that he's going to use whatever you're dealing with for his good, and you're in his kingdom and he's using you, then that's good enough sometimes.
It is good enough. I think one of the things people struggle with in scripture is understanding who God is. Because sometimes people think Old Testament God, mean angry God, New Testament God, loving and merciful God.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, through combining these things, because it is one story and he is one God, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile that?
It's tough. For sure. And I think that's the root of it, that we need to remember that he is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same tomorrow and for eternity. And so I don't know if there's a good answer a lot of the time for all of that, for, okay, is like, God seems so like angry in the Old Testament, but then he's like so loving in the New Testament. And maybe that comes from, just thinking out loud with this, but maybe it comes from our understanding of Jesus in the New Testament in America today is like this peace, love, hippie Jesus, more so than like he's a just and he's a holy God and he's for sure loving, but we need to look at him through the lens of holiness first. And that does mean that evil is punished.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, we just saw it clearer with wars and taking over. And in the New Testament, it seems more spiritual for sure. But I think the root of all of it is that God is holy and he commands his people to be holy. And that means that we need to be fully dedicated to him and set apart from other cultures.
Yeah. A people of his own.
Yeah.
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 Totally. What do you think, what do you see are some of the biggest struggles with people today with God's word? And how do you right side that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know where to begin. I feel
ain't
like
that
they,
the truth.
Yeah.
I say amen to that.
Totally.
Yeah.
A lot of people just are overwhelmed and they don't feel like they have enough time. And so it's like
a lot of words.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, if I only have time to meditate on one verse, then like, I'm hoping that that helps me the rest of the day, when in reality, the Bible is written in stories and in letters, and oftentimes they were read from beginning to end in front of the church or in front of synagogue for the Old Testament. And for us, it's like, we rarely do that, but we need to read it like that. I think Philippians takes, 15 minutes to read the entire thing? So why don't we read it from beginning to end? Instead of focusing on one verse, read what happens before, read what happens after. And I think by doing that, you'll be much more solid on your doctrines and understanding of who God is. Because right now we can take one verse, take it out of context, and build an entire theology around it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, does that line up with God in the rest of the Bible? And oftentimes, I don't think it does. So context from the big picture. And so maybe that looks like maybe once a week, you just read bigger chunks at a time. So yeah. It's like, all right, this Saturday, I'm going to read all of Galatians. Or this month, I'm going to read Matthew in one sitting. From like, I'm going to sit down and it's going to take me 3 hours or whatever. But I spend 3 hours watching movies. Why can't I do that with the Bible? And yeah, a lot of people might be like, well, I start reading it and then I get distracted within two chapters and I stop. Okay. So for me, I'll listen at the same time. So then I'm hitting multiple senses. If I think that maybe like the Bible app is like monotone, have you used streetlights before?
I love streetlights.
Yeah. So like streetlights is awesome. So use streetlights as you're going through and then you're going to hear it and see it at the same time.
They put it to music too.
They do.
And on YouTube, there's like this one specific version where it's like this guy, it's in the New Living Translation and it's like this British guy reading it and they put it to like music and it just totally keeps my attention.
For sure. Right. So like there are things in place that we just need to know about. And I think it's like lack of knowledge on resources.
And you're right about there. And there is something where, you know, it's when you're listening to big chunks, you get such a more of a download. I kind of feel like, because you're getting kind of like the full.
Totally.
Yeah. Instead of just like little bits and pieces.
Absolutely. And for a lot of us, we might be like, okay, I'm going to go through the entire Bible over the course of a year, and I do the same thing year after year.
Do you do that?
I don't, because I like to switch it up. So
see, I like that, though. You're not like, I think people get too focused on like methodology.
Yeah,
and it's I have to like do it this way. And it's like,
No, switch it. Like whatever is going on with you in that season, do that. So like in February, I read the whole Bible in 30 days. And
oh my gosh, Zach.
But I did it because then you understand the big picture in a different way than you would if it took you a year or two.
What would you say the big picture is, by the way?
Yeah. And so it's God wanting to partner with humans, his creation, in order to make a place of paradise. And he gave us a choice to spread his garden. And we chose to partner with the ways of the world instead. And the rest of the story is this redemption process of, okay, God's going to choose a family. God's going to choose a king. He's going to send his son, who's going to be the Messiah there that's going to save all of humanity that believes in him and wipe away sin completely. And right now, we're in this process where we're heading towards full redemption in a new earth.
Yay.
And that's incredible, where sin will no longer be ruling anywhere around us. And that's awesome. So I think when you read the Bible in really fast chunks like that, you see it from the big picture that it actually is. And now when you're on day three, you're like, wait, I remember reading something about this in Genesis 1, when in reality, if it took you a year to read the Bible, it might take you a month to get to the place that you were at 2 days later. And so you just miss so much more. I don't think everybody can do that or should do that. I just had the time and ability to at the moment. But yeah, each person is so different, whether it's taking one chapter at a time and you slowly work your way through it. But I think just spending time in scripture is the most important thing.
Yeah. And renewing your mind. And I was just thinking about Paul says in Colossians, it's like set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
And so we have to, it's like if we're just living our lives not in his word, we're going to just see things from an earthly perspective. And he's calling us to live from a heavenly perspective. We're expanding his kingdom.
Right.
So we have to see things his way, you know, and that's only from reading his word.
For sure. And we have like a negativity bias. So if 10 things happen to us in the day, 9 of them are good and 1 of them is bad, we focus on the bad one.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying like focus on things that are good and pure and lovely and holy and of the kingdom. And so like That's where I want to be at. I want to be focusing on where God is moving in my life and around me, because I believe that if we do, that goodness is just going to grow more and more, and it's going to be our main focus. And we're going to see the presence of God in our lives far more than if we were focusing on the bad things that were happening.
What would you say the kingdom of God is, and how does it spread?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that Jesus is a king, and he's reigning and ruling, and he has a kingdom, and his kingdom is through him when he came the first time, everywhere that he was performing miracles and teaching, his kingdom was being brought there. It was like little pockets of heaven everywhere he went. And for us today, we have the Holy Spirit, and so everywhere that we go and bring, we can bring his kingdom, and that comes through healing and forgiveness and peace and joy and love and worshiping God. And the more people that we bring into that, the more the kingdom grows, and eventually it'll take over.
Mm-hmm. What would you say our role is as believers right now?
Yeah. I think it's to love God, to worship him in all that we do. And I think that's missed a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But we can worship him through music, but then also just through our lives, through what we choose to focus on, through our jobs. We can, if you're a plumber, you can worship God through your plumbing just as much as if you're a pastor. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. And so worship is number one. Spending time growing closer to him and loving the people around us. So allowing his love to come in and then go out to the people around us as like an overflow. And that means bringing people into the kingdom and preaching the gospel and showing people that it is actually good news, and instead of just a bunch of rules that we need to follow, but it's something that you're signing up for, and it, you're choosing to partner with God's way of doing things and his wisdom versus the ways of the world. And at the end, you're going to want to be a part of the good ways, I think.
Yeah, and part of his kingdom. Yeah. And I just love that, because people need to familiarize themselves with our identity and our role and our purpose. And I think when we understand that big picture, it will really shift how we live our lives, and it will help get us off of focusing on temporary and focus on eternity and living a life that counts towards eternity, not just in this moment.
Absolutely. Like, what actually matters for us? Like, do I really need a new car, or can I like give my time and energy over here to help and serve and love the people around me, you know?
Yeah. Well, this has been such a great conversation. I love what you're doing. For anyone that, you know, because you did this, you also did, it's called
The Bible Study.
The Bible Study.
Yep.
How do people get that?
Yeah, on Amazon,
That's
anywhere.
A Bible in 1 year.
Yep, so it holds your hand as you read through the whole Bible over the course of a year.
So two really great tools. I would totally recommend you guys that are listening and watching to just tap into, because I think if you can have these resources and have these things to help you, it's just going to make it such a better experience and a more fruitful outcome.
Awesome. That's the heart behind it. I want people to fall in love with scripture. And if you can start with this foundation, it'll take you a lot further than anything that I had beforehand. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.